Good afternoon. The Tourism, Infrastructure, and Energy Subcommittee will come to order. Members, please take your seats and silence all your electronic devices. And if they do go off, we'll have to make a contribution to Chair Drake's favorite charity. Ms. Young, would you please call the roll?
Chair Drake is excused. Vice Chair LaMarca.
Here.
Ranking Democratic Member Slosberg King. Representatives Brown. Here. Buchanan.
Here.
Cheney.
Here.
Davis.
Here.
Fine. Joseph.
Here.
McFarland.
Here.
Roth.
Here.
Schoaf.
Here.
Silvers.
Here.
Skidmore.
Here.
Toledo. Here. Trebosley. Williamson.
Here.
Yarbrough.
Here.
McCormick is present, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, members. The first item of business will be temporarily postponed. It's HB 91, Representative Duran. And then after that, we'll take up, now we'll take up Representative Maney's House Bill 223. He's here. He's not here yet. Okay, so we're going to move on. Representative Payne, House Bill 789, Lifeline Services.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, members. Welcome back. There was House Bill 789 as an act related to Lifeline Services. And the federal Lifeline program enables low-income families to obtain basic telephone and broadband internet services by offering qualifying households a discount on their monthly bills. Currently, the Lifeline program is administered and subject to the jurisdiction of the FCC, Federal Communications Commission. And on April 27th of 2016, the FCC released its Lifeline Modernization Order, which sought to simplify the administration of the Lifeline program and establish eligibility criteria that does not vary from state to state. Prior to the implementation, FCC's Lifeline Modernization Order, states such as Florida mandated Lifeline support could establish its own qualifying criteria. Therefore, from state to state, there were different income eligibility standards, and the FCC included those or could be other additional state qualifying programs. This bill simply conforms Florida statute with the current FCC guidelines for the Lifeline program. And that's the bill, Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Members, do we have any questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, no public testimony, we have debate on the bill. Seeing no debate, you're recognized closed. Thank you. Representative, Ms. Young, would you please call the roll?
Chair Drake is excused. Vice Chair LaMarca?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Slosberg King?
Yes.
Representatives Brown? What? Buchanan?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Fine? Joseph?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Trebosley? Williamson?
Yes.
Yarbrough?
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. By your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Thank you.
Thank you, members.
Okay, members, we'll go back to House Bill 223 by Representative Maney, mobile home registration periods. Representative? Welcome to take your time and recognize to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for being a few moments late. I had another committee I had to attend also. So, Chairman and members of the committee, this is a real simple bill. It's a short bill. It's one of those bills that improves government efficiency and it saves our citizens and taxpayers' money. This bill simply moves the due date for renewing mobile home tags for people who own a mobile home but don't own the land under it. Instead of all tags in the states being due by December 31, it changes that date to be the same as the owner's birthday, like all of their car tags. and the benefit to the state or to the tax collectors is it spreads the work out throughout the year. There's no increase in fees, no increase in taxes. It just makes it more convenient for the public for the tax collectors. That's the bill, Mr. Chairman. Ranking member, sorry. I think I failed to recognize you. Apologize.
Not a problem. When you're a general and a judge, you can do that. Representative, you have an amendment, I see.
Yes, sir. And I should have mentioned that there is an amendment which will change the effective date from what it was originally written to give the department and the tax collectors an opportunity to set up a schedule so it doesn't all happen in 1 year.
Excellent. Members, do we have any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, no public testimony. Any debate on the amendment? Representative Roth.
Thank you, Representative Maney, for this bill. I was contacted by my tax collector, Ann Gannon, and she loves your bill. Thank you, sir, for this good bill.
Thank you for those kind words. And seeing no further debate, we'll take a vote on the amendment. Not seeing any objection, we're back on the main bill. Show the amendment adopted. Back on the main bill. Any questions on the main bill, members? Representative?
Thank you, Chair, for that question. Just with the changes, how will the offices, I guess, notify or educate the public to the changes?
That's one of the May I proceed?
You recognize?
That's one of the reasons the bill is being amended, and that's to give the tax collectors in each county. They'll still renew their tags this coming December, and that's when they'll be told and allowed to prorate their tags for next year. So they can either renew their tag for 6 months, or they can renew it for 14 or 15 months, and so they're on the cycle with their birthdays. Good question. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Okay, seeing no further questions, public testimony, members in debate on the main bill. Seeing no debate, you recognize close?
Wave close, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Ms. Young, would you please call the roll?
Chair Drake is excused. Vice Chair LaMarca?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Slosberg King?
Yes.
Representatives Brown?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Fine? Joseph?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Trebosley? Williamson?
Yes.
Yarbrough?
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr.
Thank you, and by your vote, we'll show the bill as amended, reported favorably. Thank you, sir. All right. Okay, next up, we have House Bill 661 by Representative Valdez.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee members, and Happy New Year as I first present to you today. Mr. Chairman, this bill designates bridge number 100850 on State Road 60, which is also known as the Courtney Campbell Causeway over the Old Tampa Bay in Hillsborough County, as the Virginia Creighton Bridge. Virginia, also known as Ginger Creighton, worked on the field of wetland science and was key to developing the Courtney Campbell Causeway, which is the Old Tampa Bay Water Quality Improvement Project that provided environmental credit for the Department of Transportation's projects in the Tampa Bay area. Ms. Creighton passed away, unfortunately, on May 29th, 2020, and this renaming would honor her legacy in the Tampa Bay area. And Mr. Chairman, this is the bill.
Thank you for the explanation. Members, do we have any questions on the bill? Seeing none, no amendments, no public testimony. All right, members, we are in debate on the bill, House Bill 661. Seeing no debate, you're welcome to close on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I waive close and I ask for favorable support.
Thank you. And Ms. Young, would you please call the roll?
Chair Drake is excused. Vice Chair LaMarca?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Schlossberg King?
Yes.
Representatives Brown?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Buchanan? Buchanan?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Fine? Josephs?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Trebosley? Williamson?
Yes.
Yarbrough?
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, the bill reported favorably. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Chair and committee members.
All right, members, we're going to take a step back to Representative Duggan's House Bill 481, Temporary Underground Power Panels. Representative, you're recognized. Explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill provides some regulatory framework around the use of temporary underground power panels. That is the bill.
We appreciate your brief explanation. Members, do we have any questions on the bill? Ranking member?
Thank you. Representative, I just have a question. What is wrong with having, or why are we prohibiting permanent inspections under this bill? Or preventing counties or cities from allowing permanent inspections.
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So what happens today, the use of these panels occurs today in the construction industry. Just to give a little bit of background, there is a strike all amendment. So essentially today, if you were going to build a house, you can either put a temporary pole next to the construction site, run power to the pole, and then the construction team has to run power off of that pole, and then the house gets energized separately later. What this does, and this exists today throughout the state, is an underground panel power is run to the construction site, and then when the house is blocked with the concrete block, then they can attach the electrical panel, and then the house can be constructed off of the electricity coming through that panel, and then once the house is completed and the resident is ready to move in, and then there's a certificate of occupancy issued, then that becomes the permanent electrification for the structure. So you don't have to remove a temporary power pole and run two sets of lines. What the bill does is attempt to streamline that process so that once the temporary inspection is done for the installation of the panel, there doesn't have to be a second inspection of the panel when the certificate of occupancy is issued. But there's still an electrical inspection of everything inside the house. All the wiring in the house, that's a separate inspection. This is just powering the panel.
Thank you, Representative. Other questions? Representative Brown?
And she kind of answered the question because I was trying to understand, but you've given a good explanation of the why. Mm-hmm. My question is, are there any concerns with removing this additional inspection? Are there any concerns from many other municipalities?
You recognize.
Thank you. So essentially, this happens today, but there are, I think, a couple of municipalities or counties who are unclear as to whether this is permitted. And so what this is attempting to do is tell them, yes, it's okay if you permit according to this system. Other local governments already do it and are comfortable with doing it that way. We're just giving authority, essentially, to those local governments who might be unsure.
Thank you. All right, no further questions. Did you want to present the amendment, struggle amendment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mm-hmm. So what the amendment does, and I want to thank the staff for their help on this and their questioning of the need for this. The amendment provides a definition of a temporary underground power panel, which doesn't currently exist in statute, although it is recognized in the industry and in the National Electrical Code. So the purpose of the amendment is to insert that definition into both Chapter 125 and 166 counties and municipalities. That's the amendment.
Thank you. Members, questions on the amendment? Got an electrical contractor up here. Lucky he's not asking you questions. Members, no public testimony. Debate on the amendment? All right. Show that amendment adopted without objection. We're back on the main bill for debate. Seeing no debate. Recognize the close on this succinct bill, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I waive close.
Thank you. That, Ms. Young, would you please call the roll?
Chair Drake is excused. Vice Chair LaMarca?
Yes, ma'am.
Ranking Democratic Member Schlossberg King?
Yes.
Representatives Brown?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Davis? Yes. Fine? Joseph?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Toledo? Trebosley? Williamson?
Yes.
Yarbrough?
Yes. The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. All right, members, next up, we have House Bill 891. From one of our own members, Representative Yarbrough, specialty license plates. Present from there is fine.
Thank you, Chair LaMarca. It's okay to present from
yes.
the desk? Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Members, good afternoon. Before us today, we have House Bill 891. And in sum, the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles tracks pre-sale data for all of the specialty plates that the legislature has passed. And of the plates previously passed, including out-of-state university plates, only one is within 500 plates of reaching the pre-sale threshold necessary for launching the plate as of December 27, 2021. The majority of them actually have less than 25% of the necessary pre-sales that they need to have. And basically, the pandemic has prevented marketing of the license plates, and instead of all of those having to be kicked out of the system and us having to come back and go through those for approval again, I wanted to present to you today this bill, which would do two things. It would reset the clock for everyone to get another 2 years, an additional 24 months, to try to reach the 3,000 pre-sale threshold. And it also makes the process simpler through making it be 3,000 pre-sales for both in-state and out-of-state in-state organizations, and then out-of-state universities instead of 4,000 where it is today for the out-of-state universities. So in the analysis, it did a good job laying out the same thing that I've just mentioned, and also had a chart there to see three of the out-of-state college or university plates that are available right now for pre-sale. So we wanted to give them a little bit of extra time, and with your consideration and our approval, we can do that. Thank you. That's the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, do we have questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, I was going to ask you what the out-of-state plate that was doing the best was so far, assuming it was Auburn.
The Mr. Chair, one moment. So it would appear that it would appear it's the University of Alabama by about 100 pre-sales. Auburn is second, and then University of Georgia.
Thank you, Representative.
And no recent events should have any bearing on anything.
Any other questions? Okay, I don't see any amendments on the bill or public testimony. Members, we're in debate on this good bill. Representative Brown.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. And I'll just be brief to say that it was great hearing from you, and I'm so glad to see this bill come forth. I know in the past 2 years, we've heard from various organizations relating to the concern of this particular issue. So it's good to see that, you know, we are listening, and there's something that we were able to do to assist many of these organizations with their plates, but also get the funds that they need as well. So thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further debate, you're welcome to close on your bill, Representative Yarbrough.
Thank you, Chair. And Representative Brown, thank you for your comments, too. And to Representative Brown's point, 90% of the funds raised go to charity and for the betterment of Floridians, and 10% goes to admin and marketing. So there are a lot of organizations out there that really benefit from from the sales of the plates. So we want to help them out and appreciate the committee's favorable support. And with that, I close.
Thank you, Representative. With that said, Ms. Young, would you please call the roll?
Chair Drake is excused. Vice Chair LaMarca?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic members Slossberg King?
Yes.
Representatives Brown?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Schoaf? Silvers?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Trabosley? Williamson?
Yes.
Yarbrough?
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, members. With your vote, this bill will be reported favorably. And we are at item number 7, which is House Bill 89, which I'll be presenting. So I'm going to pass the gavel to Representative Williamson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have House Bill 89 by Representative LaMarca as transportation facility designations. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 89 is a road designation in my district, but there is a strike all on it. Would you like me to explain the initial bill?
Members, do we have any other questions on the bill as presented originally? Okay, seeing that we have no questions on the bill as originally presented, we'll go into the strike all amendment. Representative LaMarca, you are recognized to explain your amendment.
There's a backup information on it. Okay. So House Bill 89, there is the strike all, and we're adding an amendment for Representative out of Brevard County, Tyler Saroy. This amendment designates a segment of State Road 519, Fisk Boulevard between Rosa L. Jones Drive and I-95 in Brevard County, which is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Highway. It also designates a segment of State Road 520 between State Road 501 Clear Lake Road and State Road 519 Fisk Boulevard in Brevard County as Sergeant George Lee Taylor Senior Memorial Highway. On behalf of Representative Saroy, I'd like to take a moment to tell you about the life and notable accomplishments of Sergeant George Lee Taylor Sr. Sergeant Taylor honorably served the United States Army from 1967 to 1971 as a paratrooper in the 173rd Airborne Brigade in Vietnam, where he was awarded a Purple Heart, Bronze Star, and Combat Infantry Badge. After serving, Sergeant Taylor pursued his passion in life and mission, helping homeless veterans in Brevard County. And in 2008, he founded the National Veterans Homeless Support Organization with a mission to eliminate homelessness among veterans in Central Florida. Over the past 10 years, the work of the NVHS has helped to greatly reduce the homeless veteran population in Brevard County. He continued this work until he passed away in May of 2020. Dedicating this specific segment of State Road 520 to Sergeant Taylor is especially significant, as it also resides the NVHS headquarters, the organization which he founded to better the lives of countless veterans throughout the county and the state. Today, his son, George Taylor Jr., continues his father's legacy by carrying out this important mission of NVHS. Members, I thank you for your consideration on that segment of this bill, and I will go back to, if I could, my initial portion of this road designation. During the early time of the pandemic in late 2020, we had a gentleman who, if y'all have been up here for a long time, you've heard about the ELSS fight with condominiums all up and down the east and west coast of the United States. I'm sorry, the state of Florida. We had a president of an association of 30 buildings by the name of P.O. Richard Iracy. And P.O., it was a picture of health, 59 years old. He played tennis 4 or 5 times a week, rode his bike quite a bit, and he was certainly in better shape than I am. P.O., unfortunately, entered the hospital at Holy Cross Hospital in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, with pneumonia, and was put in ICU and never came out due to COVID. I have put this forward to try to get this in last year, and we've put this in, this road designation bill, to designate a portion of State Road A1A, which is the eastern artery in my district, along the coast from Oakland Park Boulevard to Flamingo Road in Lauderdale-by-the-Sea in Fort Lauderdale. And this segment basically would be the portion of A1A that faces the 30 condominiums that he helped manage and bring good safety legislation to Tallahassee and to the members there. And members, with that said, that is the final description of House Bill 89.
Thank you, Representative LaMarca, for the explanation of your strike all amendment. Members, do we have any questions for the strike all amendment? Seeing none, move to public testimony. Do we have any public testimony? Seeing none, members in debate? No debate. You are welcome to close on your strike all amendment.
Waive close and ask for your support.
Having waived close on the strike all amendment, we'll do a voice vote. All in favor of the strike all, say yay.
Yay.
Any opposed, say nay. Show that the strike all amendment passes. We are on the bill as amended. Do we have public testimony on the bill as amended? Seeing no public testimony, that moves us to debate. Members, no debate. You're welcome to close on your bill as amended.
Waive close.
Having waived close on the bill as amended, Ms. Young, please call the roll on House Bill 89.
Chair Drake is excused. Vice Chair LaMarca?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Slossberg King?
Yes.
Representatives Brown?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore? Toledo?
Yes.
Trebosley?
Yes.
Williamson? Yarbrough?
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show HB 89 as amended, passed and reported favorably. Mr. Chairman, without objection, I'll give this back to you.
Thank you for your relief duty, Representative. We are actually on to our next bill, which is House Bill 315. Transportation facility designations, which will be by Representative Williamson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill is a road designation for Reverend Murray Hamilton Sr. Mr. Murray was a community advocate and community servant in Santa Rosa County. He actually lost a county commission race in 1996 to my father. And from there, they became the best of friends, and he's been someone who I thought of as a family member, a dear friend. This road designation will designate a portion of U.S. Highway 90 from Canal Street to Stewart Street in Santa Rosa County. There's a lot of significance to this road designation. Canal Street is where you come in from Bagdad, Florida, where Mr. Murray was originally raised and born in Selma, Alabama, but he moved to Bagdad. So this road, when you drive from Bagdad into Milton, is where you reach Highway 90. So it's coming from where he had his roots in Santa Rosa County. When you head west on Highway 90, you pass over Mary Street, where Mr. Murray had his barbecue shop for a while and had the best ribs in Santa Rosa County. It also passes Dr. Martin Luther King Boulevard, which we would not have in Santa Rosa County if it was not for Mr. Murray leading that effort to make sure that Dr. King's legacy was remembered in our county. It passes the Milton Bakery, which he bought donuts for his grandchildren every single Saturday and took them to him because Paw was his favorite name. And then it ends at Highway 87 North, which heads to NAS Whiting Field, which Mr. Murray worked at when he was a member of the Navy. So this is a great gentleman, someone who had a lot of different nicknames, from Fat Cat to Hambone to Mr. Murray to Uncle Murray. And he's somebody that I cherish, and I hate that we lost him last year, almost a year to today, to COVID, but his family's excited about this road designation, and he's somebody that shows that you can do great things in your community without holding an elected title, and I look forward to honoring him with this, and that is my bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, do we have any questions on this good bill? Seeing none, no public testimony. Members, do we have any debate on this bill? Seeing no debate on the bill, Representative, you're welcome to close on your bill.
I'll waive close, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Ms. Young, would you please call the roll?
Chair Drake is excused. Vice Chair LaMarca?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Slossberg?
Yes.
Representatives Brown?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore? Toledo?
Yes.
Trebosley?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Yarbrough?
Yes.
The bill passes.
Thank you. Members, with your favorable votes, this bill will be reported favorably for Paw Paw. Representative Williams, I believe you have House Bill 331 up next.
Yes, HB 331 is a road designation for Ira Mae Wells Bruce. Ms. Ira Mae was the first county commissioner, female county commissioner in Santa Rosa County. She was a great representative of the community of Navarre, which she was where she lived, and just a trailblazer in politics in Santa Rosa County. So look forward to recognizing her with this road designation.
Thank you for that explanation. Members, we have questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, no public testimony. Members, we have any debate on the bill? Seeing none, Representative, you're welcome to close.
Wave close, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And Ms. Young, would you call the roll for House Bill 331, please?
Chair Drake is excused. Vice Chair LaMarca?
Yes, ma'am.
Ranking Democratic Member Schlossberg King?
Yes.
Representatives Brown?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore? Toledo?
Yes.
Trebosley?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Yarbrough?
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. And just before we get to the last item on our agenda, just wanted to make sure everyone heard the first bill we recognized was House Bill 91 by Representative Duran, and that was temporarily postponed, and Representative is aware of it. We're going to move to House Bill 157 by Representative Andrade.
Thank you, Chair. House Bill 157, would you like me to present the proposed committee substitute just for sake of time?
Sure.
All right. The proposed committee substitute for House Bill 157 does three things. First, it eliminates...
Just clarify, I apologize. Strike all amendment, right?
Okay. Sure, strike all amendment. Deletes in the new bill. The new bill for House Bill 157 does three things. It deletes one public records exemption for competitive bids, increasing the amount of information available to the public. It incorporates how design build projects are normally conducted over the past 20 years by organizations such as the Orlando Aviation Authority and the Tampa Aviation Authority for DOT. And third, it increases or creates a ceiling to go along with the floor for the amount of spending that goes towards transit programs from the State Transportation Trust Fund.
Thank you. Members, do we have any questions on the strike call? Representative Davis.
Thank you, Chair.
Of course.
Rep. Andrade, you said it creates a ceiling for the projects, a cap. Is that what you're, basically a cap?
Yes, ma'am.
So talk to us about that. Why does it create a cap? And because I don't think it's a cap now. So why is your bill would create a cap?
Yeah. No. So.
Your Honor.
Thank you, Chair. So Representative Davis. Currently, there is a floor of 15%. 15% minimum has to be spent on transit programs in the state out of the State Transportation Trust Fund, which is funded by, our gas tax. So this bill would propose to have a ceiling to go along with that floor of 25%. I do not believe there's a single year on record where 25% of the State Transportation Trust Fund has gone to a transit program. But in a year like this, where we're proposing potentially, a sales tax for like a gas tax holiday, the distinction between money that's in the trust fund itself and coming from general revenue is important. And, it just creates some consistency and some predictability for our road projects, paving, repair, and construction.
Bellum? Yes.
So I ask that because in the, and I know you're doing a strikeout, but in the summary analysis, the line says the cap on revenues that may be used for public transit may impact revenues available for specific transportation projects. How do you respond to that other than you just feel like there's a floor there and we just need a ceiling with the summary saying it may be, it may cost the state revenue?
It won't cost the state revenue. Our revenue is derived directly from the gas tax. The only way conceivably it would cost us revenue is if there was some type of matching federal program that we would miss out on. But again, the trust fund, state transportation trust fund, is one pot of money, whereas general revenue is another. So if it was a worthwhile endeavor, there's opportunities to match it outside of the trust fund method. And again, we're talking about a very obscure hypothetical. We've never spent, I believe, more than 20% out of the state transportation trust fund for transit projects.
Thank you. Representative McFarland.
Thank you, Chair LaMarca. Representative Andrade, can you maybe give us some examples of transit programs which would now be capped at 20% of the trust fund that we could allocate toward? That was, when we spoke yesterday, that was helpful for me in understanding what type of activities would be capped going forward.
Thank you, Chair. So it's just the one point is it's a 25% ceiling, not 20. So I don't want to deprive anybody of that potential 5% that's never been used, but it's things like rail, buses, essentially programs for public transportation that aren't directly, you know, considered like paving, road construction, planning, and engineering.
See no further questions? There was a debate on the amendment. Saying you're welcome to close on your amendment.
Wave closed, Chair.
Thank you. And the amendment has been adopted without objection. We're back on the bill as amended. Members, do we have any questions on the bill as amended? Seeing none, and we're in no public testimony and debate on the bill as amended. Okay. Seeing none, you're welcome to close on the bill as amended.
Wave closed again, Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Ms. Young, if you please call the roll.
Chair Drake is excused. Vice Chair LaMarca?
Yes, ma'am.
Ranking Democratic Member Schlossberg-King?
Yes.
Representatives Brown?
No.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Davis?
No.
Fine?
Yes.
Joseph?
No.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore? Toledo?
Yes.
Trebosley?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Yarbrough?
Yes.
The bill passes.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, the bill as amended will be reported favorably. Thank you. Members, appreciate everyone's patience with the vice chair playing duty of chair today, and hope our chair is back as soon as possible. I want to thank you for a great meeting, and with that, I believe Representative Silver's moves that we rise.